So many decisions. It's nice. Friends, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is both rock and redeemer. And may we always, in whatever season of the church year we find ourselves in, trust the message much more than we trust any specific messenger. That's true today with me, and that's true always. Thanks be to God for these moments we have to worship and praise one with another. Amen. So Advent is a little strange here in 21st century America. It's like an echo. It's like an echo from something that happened long ago that we know is important. And it just sort of echoes through everything. What I mean by Advent is strange and it echoes through everything is that the Walgreens in my neighborhood that my wife and I go to anywhere from 4 to 65 times per week, depending on how many times we don't remember the thing that we went there to remember in the first place, right? We go back and forth. Started putting their Christmas decorations up in October, like around the time they put up their Halloween things. Walgreens doesn't do Advent. Not at all. At least not that I'm aware of. Halloween, of course, doesn't really mean anything if you don't know about All Saints Day. But All Saints Day is one of these echoes, too. If you say to someone, well, happy All Saints Day, near the end of October, they'll kind of give you that side-eyed glance, like, I think I remember something about that in there somewhere, but I don't actually know what we're talking about. Just like most people never say things like happy Advent or joyful Advent or peaceful Advent. It's an echo of something that had meaning at one point in time and still echoes into our lives even now. It's where we are, though, and I think we need to pay it some attention. I think it's worthy of more than just an echo because it's our last line of seasonal defense against the pounding drum, which begins beating those rhythms of Christmas weeks and weeks before Christmas ever even has a chance to arrive. Like I said, in my neighborhood Walgreens, they started kicking the bass drum of Christmas back at the end of October. And while there's nothing wrong with that, like, Christmas is awesome. It's wonderful. People come together. They're nicer. People are more generous at the time of year. Like good things happen at Christmas. Families and friends and laughter. It's all good. It's okay that in my neighborhood, some people already have their Christmas trees up. And you can see the twinkling lights through their windows. Our tree's still in the box at my house. But we're gonna catch up. I can feel it. I just know we are. It's okay if Christmas has come for some of those folks early. But I think we have to listen to Advent and let it be more than just a simple echo, because without Advent, I think Christmas loses some of its wonder. I think it loses some of its inherent meaning. I think it loses some of its brilliance. Dare I say, I think it loses some of its magic. Because it reminds us that everything is not right in the world. It reminds us that we do, in fact, need a Savior. It reminds us that we must rely upon the inspiration and intervention of God to help things in our lives be set right. Or maybe ask it this way. If the shepherds in the Christmas story are completely satisfied with how they are living, how the world is around them, do they get up in the middle of the night to run to see a baby whose family they don't know? I don't think so. How about this? I've never had the privilege of living high on the hog. I think I would do it well if I did. But if you know somebody who's just got it set, like high on the hog, do they sit around hoping that God is going to come break down the door and upset their lives? I don't think so. I think in order to be saved by Jesus, we have to remember that we needed to be saved in the first place. We live in an unsettling time. It's an unsettled time. We argue about politics, about culture, about history. Lord have mercy, we figured out how to argue about pandemics and viruses with each other the last 2 years. And I think Advent, right now, Advent 21, might be the 4-week, 28-day, 4-Sunday spiritual discipline that we need to help us be pointed towards Christmas, allowing our souls to be focused upon what God is doing beyond the arguments and really pay attention to the incarnational miracle of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. Today is Hope Sunday, the first chance that we have to do that. the first Sunday of Advent. And while it may in fact be an echo, it's an echo that we should give our full attention to throughout these weeks leading up to the celebration of December 24th and 25th. Take, for example, Psalm 95. It is all about the power of God and the hope that the people are supposed to take from that power. Look to God for hope. That's the endearing message of Psalm 95. Now, here's what you need to know about Psalm 95. Psalm 95 through 100, like 95, 96, all the way to 100. They serve together like a unit, like the swell of a great symphony. You ever been to the symphony? And all of a sudden, they all get going, and all the instruments are playing that one divine chord, and it rises up, and you can feel it in your chest, and your eyes start to mist up. Or maybe you're not a classical music person. Maybe you're a rock and roll fan. So you buy your tickets to the concert, and the band finally gets to the ballad. You know, the one that everybody likes to sing with them, and they crank it up to 11, and they raise the lights. You know, that's what Psalm 95 through 100 are like. Some of our best songs, some of our best Christmas carols come from these five, six psalms. Right at the end of the second book of Psalms, Psalm 95 through 100. There is one moment, though, that's not a swell. There's a moment that's a warning, and it only happens in Psalm 95. It happened in verse 7 of what we read today. It says this, "Don't forget to listen to the voice of God. Oh, that you would not forget to hear the voice of God." And then it spends the rest of the psalm remembering a time in the book of Exodus when the people lost hope, when they turned their backs on God, and when they forgot to look to God for the hope that only God can provide. I'm talking about the wilderness years. If you read the book of Exodus, you discover that the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and it became their own kind of Advent, a prelude to the arrival of in their promised land, a period of waiting and endurance as they marched across the desert and the wilderness. The question is, how did they get so lost along the way? You ever been lost along your way? You ever known someone who got lost along their way? Well, how did it happen to them? Well, the psalm tells you they made mistakes. They made big mistakes along the way. All of those mistakes that they made boil down to a lack of trust and a lack of hope in God. And the psalmist says, don't do that. Keep listening to God. Keep looking to God for hope. And then we get Jesus in Luke 21. This is one of his tough love moments. In Luke 21, Jesus does not pull his punches. He tells his followers, hey, it's going to get hard, 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 hard. It's going to be difficult. His words contain warning after warning after warning. This is called, like I said, the mini apocalypse of Jesus, and it is dire. If you ever read Luke 21, go home and read it today. When you get to Luke 22, you're going to actually say out loud, well, thank God there's a 22nd chapter. Thank goodness it doesn't end right here. It's a reminder, all the 21st chapter, that there are times in life and that there are moments in our lives which are so trying and so challenging, things can be so bad that only God can fix them. But there's also an Advent moment in Luke 21. There's a moment where it kind of turns a little bit. And it happens at verse 31. Jesus has just told them about how things flower, about how every summer the plants produce more and more fruit, that that's just the way that God has made it. And Jesus says, remember this in the midst of all the bad. And verse 31, take confidence that the kingdom of God is coming near. Right in the middle of all the apocalypse, of all the bad news, is a kingdom verse, a verse of good news. God is still involved. God is still concerned. God is still near. It's a call by Jesus to stay alert for signs of hope when your nights are long and your anxieties are impossible to bear. I would suggest that Advent, here at this darkest time of the year, points us towards a light in the manger, even when the darkness presses in on us most, because the manger itself and the baby within it provides for us a glimpse of God's kingdom plan. But in order to understand the plan, you see, it takes a little bit of faith. I mean, really, it's all an act of faith, isn't it? I mean, to really believe in the incarnation, to really believe that God sent a son into the world, that God became a baby for a time, to really believe that God came into the world through Jesus is itself an act of faith. And while we don't have a faith Sunday in Advent, it's assumed on all four Sundays. faith and hope, yeah, hope, today's Hope Sunday, they kind of go together like siblings. They go together hand in hand. Wherever you find one in the Bible, you find two, like two sisters who choose to get along for a couple days. They sort of walk hand in hand, or two brothers who grow up together. They take a place in our hearts. They just belong. How happens, though, when we can't feel hope and faith anymore? What do? Do we double down on despair? Or do we double down on something else? I once had this homeless guy in Charlotte. My first years in Charlotte were spent ministering to the homeless, and they taught me so much. It was the hardest, most frustrating, most amazing work I think I've ever done. And this one old homeless guy that was a particular purveyor of wisdom once told me, he said, "You know, Pastor, everybody out here is hoping for something. Everybody out here is hoping for something." I wonder, does that hold up? 22, 23 years later, does that hold up? And if it does, what then are we hoping for? White Memorial, what are you hoping for? Better yet, preacher, you might want to ask it this way. What are you hoping in? See, the warning of the psalm is well-timed. You know, the first six verses of Psalm 95 are glorious. And then verse 7 says, oh, and by the way, if you stop listening to God and stop hoping through God, you're going to get in trouble. And I'll share with you that after 26 years of biblical study and pastoral care, that all I can surmise about this is that if we place our hopes in anything other than Almighty God, then eventually disappointment is going to find us. Always does. Now, these 4 weeks of Advent, I'll be preaching a theme that I'm calling playing your part in the drama of Advent, or what part to play in the drama of Advent. And I don't use drama in the sense of like everybody crying in a Hallmark movie. Those are good too. That's a nice part of Christmas. But that's not what I mean. I mean the classic definition, an exciting, unexpected, or emotional series of events. And if you read the Advent story, if you come to worship on Sundays, midweek worship on Wednesdays, if you follow along in a devotional book at home, you'll see that Advent is full of unexpected, emotional, and exciting events. What part do we play? See, Advent introduces us to this world of prophets who cry out for God's justice in a time of despair when the people have fallen away from God and they are deeply, deeply, deeply lost. Throughout the biblical story of Advent, you're going to meet people and individuals who wait and then choose to invest themselves in hope, longing for God's Spirit to shine the light of grace into the forlorn corners of our lives. In the worship services we'll share, in the prayers that we pray, in the songs that we sing, we'll declare our trust and our hope, namely that we hope and we believe in the God who will not let the world anguish forever. These Sundays of Advent will reveal God's plan to allow the Savior, that is the Son of God, to be born into the world, and when he comes to bring redemption and salvation in his wake. That's what Advent will do for us. Now, I think one of the challenges of making this make sense, one of the challenges of biblical stories, of the great dramas of the Bible, is finding our place in the stories. Finding our place. Well, didn't it happen a long time ago? Yes. That's in part why it's an echo. It happened to other people a long time ago. But the Bible isn't just an echo. It's not just memory. It's a living thing that's much more than words on the page. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can find parallels to the story. And the stories become alive when we identify with the people who live them. Take, for example, Zechariah. Do you know who Zechariah is? We're going to be hearing about Zechariah this Advent. Zechariah was the high priest of Israel, and he was the father of John the Baptist. Are you like Zechariah? Are you duty bound? Do you do your duty every day faithfully? I mean, Zechariah went to the temple every day to tend the fire, to light the candle, to keep worship going. Are you invested in your traditions? Are you bound to maintaining traditions so that the community around you won't forget who they are? If you are, then you're like Zechariah. Today and always, You're even more like Zechariah if in the midst of all your devotion to tradition, you are also hopeful that God will break through in your life and do things that you have always believed to be impossible. Are you like Zechariah, my friends? How about the part of John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah? Have you ever been called by God to make a way for somebody else to follow? Have you played the part in your family, your home, your business, your community, this church, your church back home, where you were the one that planted trees that would bear fruit down the road that you would never get to eat? Is the role that you play in your house to prepare things for others so that they can be celebrated? I mean, are you a person who it's okay if the people that you love, if their success eclipses your own? If you can identify with any of that, then maybe you're like John the Baptist. Perhaps we're like the shepherds. I mean, I think I'm like the shepherds. I do. They were just doing their job. And even though I love my job, like, I have to be here next Sunday too, right? I mean, I'm going to be right here next Sunday, and I'm going to do the best I can, right? But that's what the shepherds are doing. They're not out of the fields because it's comfortable. They're not sleeping with the sheep because it's their first choice. They're out there because they have to be, because they want to feed their children. Lions, tigers, bears, oh my, sheep at night are a tasty meal. That's what they're doing. They're just doing their jobs. Is that you? Are you the person that's just going through it because you have to get through it? Are you worried that you won't be able to provide something that the people around you need you to provide, but you're out there doing it anyway? Are you hopeful that maybe God someday, maybe, just maybe, God someday will make an opportunity that you cannot provide on your own? If you're holding it together this Advent, like the shepherds were holding their flock together the night that the angel spoke to them, may I suggest that it may be a great time to turn your gaze to the atmosphere, or turn your gaze inward to see if something new might be revealed, a morsel of hope, something you've never noticed before. Are you the prophet looking out into the world and crying for justice? Are you someone who's saying, hey, we need to pay more attention to what God wants us to be rather than what we want us to be? Are you an exhorter, a teacher, an interpreter? Are you one of the keepers of wisdom? See, all of these characters spill off the pages of the Bible in our readings for Advent, each one inviting our consideration of how their examples can shape our very own faith some 2,000 years later. So Advent, it may be an echo, yeah. Particularly once you leave church today, it may be an echo. You may say happy Advent to somebody, and they may give you that surprised look, like, I don't know what you're talking about. But it's a powerful echo. It's a grand story. And it brings to us the liturgical emphases of hope, peace, joy, and love. And today is Hope Sunday. And I think that old homeless guy was right. Everybody out here is hoping for something. Let me share one final thought with us this morning. And that is, I've been a pastor now for most of my adult life. I'm going to turn 50 soon and started studying theology 26 years ago. So it's like half my life. And in the pastoral life, sometimes refrains occur. And I've come to consider them movements of the Spirit, especially when they come from different sources. And for the last year or so, 2021, I really have a hard time remembering 2020. And I don't think I'm alone in that. For 2021, I have heard the following refrain from people at different ends of different spectrums. People that call themselves liberals and people that call themselves conservatives. People who are really progressive and people who are really traditional. I've heard it from relatives in the Northeast, and I've heard it from relatives in the Deep South. From all sides of the political spectrum, I've heard it from black folks and white folks. And the only thing all these folks have in common is they're all in their 60s or 70s, and they've said it to me so many times, it feels like hundreds. And they say, I am worried about the world. That my grandchildren are growing up in. And I've thought about that so much. I've prayed about it. Like why? Why across this huge spectrum of people is that refrain what comes up? And I think it's a response to capital A, capital L, capital L. Like all the things that have happened since 2001. I started typing them out in bullet points and I gave up. The list was too long. There's so much turmoil. There's so much arguing. So much rapid and expansive change. My friends, we live in an exponential age. This is an exponential moment. What do I mean by that? Amazon can take you to space. But I stay up at night wondering if my kids are safe at school. That's it. No wonder we're all so anxious. No wonder that's the refrain. Today I say thank God for Advent. Thank God for hope. Because into that world, this little story comes and it echoes through our lives. And it's not that different. The Roman Empire was an exponential time. The characters and the stories that we're going to read from the Bible, they're living in the same kind of age where everything is in doubt and everything is being questioned. And Advent brings it right to our doorsteps. It says, open your door and let hope in. But to let hope in, you've got to do your part. We've got to learn to play our parts. And one candle at a time, Advent, hope, love, joy, and peace can grow. That's our dramatic story. And I'm hopeful that we'll stand by it on these four Sundays of Advent. So White Memorial, what do you hope for? What part are you called to play as we pray that our hopes are going to be realized? That's the question this first Sunday of Advent. And it will lead us to other questions. But by the power and the love of the God of Advent grace, may we find hope enough for today and resolve for the living of tomorrow. Thanks be to God. Amen. Happy Advent. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And in going from this place, may you find some hope. Open the doors of your hearts, your homes, and your lives to it. For its potential, friends, is indeed abundant, and it is one of God's finest gifts, one of the finest things that we have to share with others. So go out into that world in hope, remembering that in the providence and goodness of God we have been made. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit we are sustained, and in the love of God fully revealed through Jesus Christ, we are saved and we are redeemed. That's true now, and it's true always, and may that give us hope for the days ahead. Thanks be to God. Amen.